my fellow Americans. This July, we're celebrating America's birthday at Moda Casino by giving away $1,776,000 in prizes. And one lucky winner is going to take home $1 million SC. Happy 250th birthday, America. You're welcome. Download Moto Casino today.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
All right, we're throwing it down. You know how we roll. It's a Twisted Tuesday. Andrew McKinnis, bonus. We're in overtime right now. Well, now we're going to go to a shootout soon. We're in overtime right now talking pucks. So we can't have you on and not talk. I don't know. I guess it's destiny, isn't it? It's destiny that the Montreal Canadiens and Toronto Maple Leafs have to be playing each other tomorrow. And I tell you what, that was a big, big booty, much-needed win for the Montreal Canadiens against Calgary the other night, bro. Last night, I guess it was. Calgary would have been right there. Vancouver were lingering, but Vancouver lose. Vancouver on the ropes right now. They don't have a lot of room for error, even though they have the games in hand. What about this? And the Leafs are close to wrapping up the division. What do you make of this game right now?
I'm going to stay off the side, Gabe, and just go ahead and look towards the under in this one. We made some money betting unders on the season. You said you've had some luck getting these in-game unders. Right now, with this Canadiens team, you know, right now, despite how they're playing hockey, if it's a lot of time in the offensive zone, if it's, you know, great defensive hockey turning into, stretch passes up the ice, whatever it seems to be, you're just getting a great defensive game. They just can't score. But right now, they're getting back to old-fashioned Montreal Canadiens hockey where they have to recognize they can't go goal for goal with teams. They have to start winning 2-1 games again.
Oh, wait. You mean the way that Claude Julien wanted to play?
That's the way that he only knows how to play.
Yeah, but that's the way that you win. So you're just saying now that they have to. Yeah, exactly. He knew that the team that they had and the talent that they had. So it's just funny now. You're like, oh, yeah, now they have to go back. Now they do. Listen, I'm not opposed to the under. As I stated, I had the under. I had the under against Calgary. And, we've been cashing tickets with this in-game stuff. So we got 6.5 on the board right now at FanDuel. 6.5 in this game. All right, listen, McKinnis, one last break, and we'll get you out of here because we have another guest coming up in 10 minutes. So we promise we'll get you out of here after this commercial break. We'll get some puck picks from McKinnis overnight. He'll tell us why he thinks the Canadiens are going to beat the Leafs. No, he's just playing it total, he said. That's right. Bring it.
Relax. You don't have to actually play these sports.
Just know about them.
Keep it here. This is the Sports Grid Radio Network.
SportsGrid.com.
Hi, Uncle Laser here. America's built on fast cars, fast food, and even faster women. Moto Casino's built in America. You know what they're fast at? Fast cash prize redemption. You see, only Moto is U.S. owned and operated. Moto. It's American made. That's who we are, and that's who we care about. Play for free at Moto.us.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details. Must be 21 plus.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Don't think of us as a place to just hear sports talk. Think of us more as an all-you-can-listen buffet of live odds, lines, matchups, injury reports, and news you can use.
Bon appetit!
We are the Sports Grid Radio Network. You're listening to Sports Grid Late Night with Gabe Morenci on Sports Grid Radio, Sirius XM Channel 204.
Halfback passes to the center. Back to the wing. Back to the center. Center holds it. Holds it. Holds it.
Halfback passes to center. Back to wing. Back to center. Center holds it. Holds it. Holds it.
I can't bear this any longer. I'm leaving.
The Late Night Anger Management Class. This is Sports Rage. All right, we're in a bonus time with Andrew McKinnis, and we appreciate it. So we'll get right out of business here. Looking at the total, bro, we got 6.5 at FanDuel. I got no problem pulling the trigger on the under. These games, especially right now, man, we're late into the season. They're like playoff games. I'm not saying every game is going to go under every night, but I'm not in a hurry to be betting overs. And what happened tonight? So Islanders, Washington, under. Pittsburgh, Boston, under. Rangers, under. Philadelphia, Jersey, over. Under Detroit, over the Chicago game. There were a couple of overs on the back end here, but you know, I'm looking. I agree, but no opinion on the side here. You're gonna pass on this game. No Canadians for you.
I'm gonna pass, but I'll say this for anybody out there looking to bet on the Montreal Canadiens, you're better off just betting the first period. They do not win games unless they win the first period. And if it's tied, you'll get the push. That's my advice on that game. As far as the Maple Leafs go, look, they've locked down the number one spot, Gabe. The price is probably where it should be. You know, Montreal always gets up for them, but the Leafs did a good job against them last game. I'm staying off. I'm staying off right now. I've made some money on the Leafs recently. I'm staying off. The difference is I wanted to say it, Gabe, and I'm not trying to get into a back and forth. I know we don't have too much time. I just want to say the difference is with Julien and what we're seeing now is that Julien didn't try to score. Right now, they just can't score. And that's the difference. Julien didn't even try to score. Right now, they just can't at all. So,
but when they fire Julien
and not trying to score, there's a difference between keeping your team in the defensive end the entire game and not being able to score when you have the opportunity.
Jonathan Giroux couldn't score on a Kardashian. At an NBA All-Star party. Like, they can't score. You know what I mean? So, look, they fired the coach.
There's no excuse to play defensive like you're a soccer team and have four guys back and one guy up. This isn't the World Cup. This isn't Chile playing Argentina. You know what I mean? This isn't, you know, it's the NHL. You need to have guys going up, dumping the puck and playing good offensive hockey. I don't care who you are. You know what
maybe
I mean?
if you have players. Like, who's good on the Canadiens that can score? They have, like, one guy. Like, who scores on this
team? That's what I mean. So, even when they – I'm saying, even when they maintain offense,
I don't understand your logic.
They're not scoring.
Like, I don't understand the logic of, we have a bunch of crappy players that can't score, so let's try to get into a shootout with teams. You're not going to win a lot of games.
I'm not saying that at all. That's not what I'm saying. I'm just saying establishing puck possession and establishing time in the offensive zone doesn't mean the exact same thing as trying to go goal for goal with a team. Those two things aren't equal. Those two things aren't synonyms, so to speak. There's a difference between trying to be offensive and trying to get into a goal fest. I just think that Julien wanted to protect his own end. There's a difference between wanting to protect your own end and wanting to spend some time in the offensive zone. I don't care if we have, no goal scorers.
Yeah, well, who was the coach?
Offensive zone.
It worked last year when they beat Pittsburgh in the playoffs. It was working when they nearly beat Philadelphia last year in the playoffs. You know what I mean? And I guarantee you, they ain't winning two playoff series this year, bro. It's going to be a one and done. A one and done. and Bergevin and Ducharme will be bye-bye on the way out. So, you know what I'm saying? If you wanted to fire Julien, you could. We could argue about it all you want, but shouldn't have done it then. It was a short season anyways. So what's the excuse
going to
What's the excuse going to be after? Well, you got to give this coach a full training camp, and it wasn't right, and it wasn't fair. Like who the hell fires a coach if you're good in a 56-game season? You're almost sabotaging things.
He got nervous. He wanted to get the target off his back. He got nervous.
He's an idiot.
What the worst part is, Gabe? The worst part is about all of this. Guess who's played great this year for the Montreal Canadiens? You mentioned it. You asked me who's playing great. The only guys that have played great are the new guys. So Bergevin's going to look at himself and think, oh, I did a good job. I picked up Jake Allen.
I know. Toffoli.
I picked up Josh Anderson. it's not good enough. He hasn't done a good enough job for the past 3-4 years. Picking up 3 good guys isn't good enough. Anyway, we could get into it all night long. I have one pick I want to give out, and as much as we're talking about unders, I do like an over. The Vancouver Canucks, Ottawa Senators, over 5.5. It's the 4th straight meeting between these two teams, and I'm not sure if you could hear me. We were having those technical problems, Gabe, but I was saying that I think the games we're going to see overs in are the games that don't really matter. And the games we're going to see unders in are the ones, you know, that involve some really skillful teams. 4th time in a row these two teams have played. We're seeing, you know, Brady Tkachuk, Drake Batherson, Timmy Stützle, all these guys playing really well. And the Vancouver Canucks, as much as they have younger guys, they also have a lot of vets. And I think vets show some pride, too. People are saying the Canucks are going to mail it in. You know, I think they're going to want to show some pride, too, in this 4th game against this exact same team. Right now we're seeing a 5.5 shaded heavily towards the over. I would jump in on that 5.5 before everybody goes to bed and cash a winning ticket. Early start tomorrow, too. 7:30 Eastern time, I believe.
5:30 Eastern time.
Oh, 5:30. All right. Well, you know it's getting late for me when I'm reading times wrong like that. Yeah, 5:30.
Well, I was going to say.
3 in the morning I am, Gabe.
Yeah, 7. Yeah, I was gonna say 7:30 is not really an early start either. Like if it was at 7:30, it's all good. Well, you know what? Some websites and stuff have different times. I hate that actually. I get confused by there's a few websites that have me on West Coast time and it throws me off still. But yeah, because I was gonna note actually this is an early start time. 5:30. So what time is that for you? 2:30. No, sorry, 3:30.
6:30.
No, 6:30. Oh, my God, that's right. I'm confused. See, I'm too whacked out here with all these time zones.
It's 3:19 a.m. right now.
Oh, my God.
A.m.
I feel bad that you're here. I thought you were behind. You're like in the only place in the world, essentially, that's ahead of everybody. Like, you're ahead of everything. It's insane.
Yeah.
It's 11 o'clock where we are. So I'm sorry, McKenna.
Thinking about the Red Bull tomorrow morning, Gabe.
Hey, listen.
I should get sponsored by Red Bull, man.
Now you're gonna win tonight. You're gonna win tomorrow because now you're up. You're fresh. You're all fired up now after this show, and you're gonna do some capping, and you know, just make sure you know what time the game starts at, and you'll be good.
Gabe, it's always a pleasure, man. I always enjoy talking with you.
Thanks, McKenna. There's Andrew McKinnis with us. That's the whacked out time zone that he's in, man. What's the time zone? Is it Newfoundland? Those guys are like 90 minutes. Is that like the only place in the world or something like that? I've completely given up. And it's something that we have to be very clear with all of our guests all the time, actually, to avoid that confusion. And even I've fallen for it on occasion. In which, you know, is that East Coast or is that West Coast? But thanks to Andrew McKinnis for joining us. Howard Balzer is going to step up. And I'll give you credit, actually, Matthias, because, you know, he was talking about games that don't count. And last night before the show, you were actually watching the Anaheim Ducks play. And I said, oh, wow. I said, that's like, we were talking about it earlier on the air. It's like the most meaningless game. But you said you got to support the team. They're playing tomorrow night again, but tomorrow your Clippers are playing the Suns. So you'll be watching that. You won't have to watch the Ducks tomorrow.
Yeah.
You won't have to watch the Ducks right. Suck.
Clippers whipping that ass tomorrow, that'd be good.
Who's playing? who's in the lineup, man?
Every dating app swap is another loss. Gym bros, fake CEOs, straight up losers. So now the only app I open is Moto Casino because at least there I'm surrounded by winners, real winners, thousands of them. While everyone else is in the single swamp, I'm at home relaxing while stacking bonuses, hitting wins, and playing all my favorite Vegas style games. Moto Casino, the only app worth your time.
Moto Casino, the social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details. Download the Moto Casino app today. Must be 21 plus.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Bring it.
You can listen to Sports Grid on the radio, TV, or the internet.
Hate technology, brand.
Keep it here on the Sports Grid Radio Network.
sportsgrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. sportsgrid.com.
It's simple, really.
You have a choice.
Either listen to Sports Grid and get the winning edge,
or don't.
And get really good at explaining things to your increasingly impatient wife.
Happy wife, happy life, dude.
You're listening to the Sports Grid Radio Network.
The late night anger management class continues. This is Sports Rage. I am Gabe Morenci, Sirius XM Channel 204. The countdown of the National Football League draft is on. And let's bring a man on right now that's been doing this a long time. And in fact, he was part of ESPN's first draft, which I believe was 41 years ago. And it's amazing that here we are, Howard, and to see what the draft has grown into. The great Howard Bolzer joins us. Howard, it's always a pleasure, sir. How you doing?
I'm doing well. Great to be with you. Yeah, and when you put that person, you go, wow, 41 years ago. And I'm just, you know, grateful to still be doing it and still be hanging in. And of course, it was great being a part of that groundbreaking show that ESPN did, that everyone was wondering, what the heck are they doing? And here we are 41 years later, and people can't get enough of it. It's pretty amazing.
Let me ask you, Howard, how much information did you guys have on the set? So, like, as far as the players, like, because I'm just thinking, you know, going back to 1981 here, that, you know, you guys knew where the players played. You've seen them play. You knew their size, their weight, and maybe their favorite movie, right? Like, what was the detail of the information that you guys had on the set of these players?
It was all up to us individually. To have that, because, you know, the one thing that there wasn't any of were highlights of the players. I mean, let's remember, this was April of 1980, and ESPN had only been on the air since the previous September, and so they didn't have, you know, a host of college games, and they didn't have all this tape available, and so there weren't
highlights. And there's no internet, just for young people tuning in.
Exactly.
The internet didn't exist.
Exactly. And so you talk about talking heads television, and that's what it was. So the information on the players, certainly we all had knowledge of the teams, and that, of course, is a big part of it. What are teams looking for in the draft, and what's the fit for those teams in terms of the players available? And so I don't want to say we were winging it, but in a certain respect, we kind of were, and had no idea how people were going to react. And bottom line is it got pretty good reviews afterward, and most everyone was saying, not only fans that were watching, but, you know, the people writing the TV and radio columns and newspapers, they were saying, hey, this is a lot better than we thought. And so ESPN hit the ground running, obviously, and continued to do it, and the rest, as they say, is history.
So when did the crazy draft era begin, Howard, in which, with the over-the-top speculation, smear campaigns, teams openly smearing players, like, when did GMs start asking stupid questions about if you were to be a vegetable, you know, what vegetable would you be? Listen, I was a kid, and that's when I started really getting into football, Howard. Like, I'm 50 now, but, you know, in the Hugh Green and Dan Marino and Herschel Walker, and, you know, that sort of college football era. And I know that Dan Marino, there was rumors about Dan Marino and his recreational activities, so to speak. But when did things get, like, insane with the draft, Howard, where we're talking about, oh, you know, GM didn't like the way that he played rock, paper, scissors? When did it get stupid?
Well, you know, I don't know if I can put a finger on exactly when, because it kind of grew exponentially over the years, but certainly a big part of it. I mean, obviously first round picks always had value, but as salaries increased and the money invested became even higher, especially in those first round picks and the high first round picks, then teams figured, hey, we really got to do our due diligence in finding out all we can about these guys to try to minimize the mistakes. And I never like calling them mistakes, because teams can only go with the information available. They can only hope, when they research guys' background, that people tell them the truth. I mean, the classic was when Ryan Leaf was drafted by the San Diego Chargers, and Bobby Bethard, the GM at the time, was trying to do his due diligence, and former coaches lied about Ryan Leaf to him. And so, you know, those are the things that's difficult sometimes to really find out. But as the internet came, as the money grew, then certainly the scrutiny of these players, you know, got deeper and deeper, and it became more almost sometimes of almost trying to find things wrong with guys instead of trying to find, you know, what was right with them, because there is a lot of risk. I mean, let's be honest. I mean, Thursday night, we're probably going to have three quarterbacks taken in the first three choices, maybe four, but every one of those coaches, every one of those general managers, most of them involved in that decision, as they have over the years, if you miss early in the first round, especially on a quarterback, the odds are you're not going to have that job very long. And so there's a tremendous amount, obviously, at stake with the people making the decisions. So they, you know, some have called it over the years, Gabe, paralysis by over analysis.
Yeah.
But the reality is that's what you have to do because of what is at stake with these choices that the teams are going to make.
And you know what? As we're in conversation with the great Howard Balzer, as I think a lot of the process is overkill, and as you stated, you know, paralysis through analysis. But at the same point in time, I get it. It's a lot different. In the old days, you know what? You were giving a guy, you know, $3 million for 4 years or something, or, you know, a couple of $100,000. Now, and it's a great point, Howard, as you stated. These guys already know what's right with the players, right? It's like being on a car lot. Yeah, I know the car looks great. I know it's a great look, and I am aware it goes fast. But let me see under the hood. Can I look? Can I just see if there's any oil leakage here? So I totally get it. What do you make, Howard, of like teams that are saying they don't like guys? Have you heard this a lot? Like that they don't like guys that opted out last year? What, like, do you buy into that right now? Like, what do you think of like the sort of, as you stated, the over judgment and, let's say, sort right. of narrow-minded thinking of teams, that they'll eliminate guys immediately? Well, I don't like him because of this. Well, automatically, I won't take a guy because of that. Is there too much of that going on still?
I don't know how much there truly is, and I often wonder when that narrative gets out there if it's just created just to have a story, because I certainly haven't seen a team come out and say, well, if a guy opted out, I'm not picking him. Remember, before that, there was the thought that, oh, well, you know, if a guy doesn't play in his bowl game, because it's a meaningless game. Yeah. He wants to start getting ready for the draft. Well, I don't know if we're going to draft him. Well, you know what? If you like the player, you take him. And so I think a certain amount of that is overblown, and it just gets put out there, and there's a lot of smoke being blown that for different teams. But and certainly if a guy opts out, he's going to be asked about. When teams talk to the guy, they – and that's what's so important about this process, and what has been a lot harder the last couple of years without a whole lot of in-person meetings where you're doing it on Zoom and over the computer. But you want to get a feel for the guy. You know, what's he going to be like in the locker room? I mean, you mentioned these teams know about guys to a certain degree, their physical abilities and all that, but do they really know how they're going to be when they get that money in their pocket, and when they become pros, and when this is now their job and their livelihood? And they're young guys, obviously. You know, they're in their young low 20s. And you say, true passion do they have for the game of football? And that's sometimes, you know with Peyton Manning, he had it. But there's a lot of guys you're not really sure, and you're hoping you're right, you know, about it. And so when they have those questions will be asked, and they hope that, you know, the guy isn't giving the rehearsed answers, you know, the answers that they've been coached to give, and that they're absolutely sincere, and that that's a player, especially with a quarterback, who's going to be the face of the franchise. And that's what teams seem to have to have. So it's always considered, but I don't know that any team sits there and goes, and especially this year, where there were so many players that opted out for obvious reasons. And here's the irony, Gabe. I mean, there were 69 players in the NFL last year that opted out.
And exactly.
So how can you then hold that against a college kid, but you learn about their individual circumstances? What was it about? You know, is it a guy who does have health issues? Is it a guy with that's around his family and, you know, is concerned about his family? Is it a player that maybe has kids? Because some of these college players do. So you do have to learn all those things. But I don't know that there's that many that just come out and say, oh, guys that opted out, we're not taking them. It's just, I just don't think that truly happens.
Howard, we got about a minute and a half left here, and then I'll throw some current draft talk at you as far as the Cardinals and more. But, you know, you've been around a long time. Are GMs more tight-lipped now? Like, how has it changed as far as getting information is concerned as far as years ago? I know the media has changed immensely, but it seems to me that nobody really has an insight to what any team is doing right now.
Exactly. People think they know, but nobody knows. And even if something does leak out, oh, this team's supposedly interested in that guy, or the 49ers want this quarterback, anytime information does get out, then you have to look at it with a jaundiced eye and say, well, why is that out? What agenda is there on putting it out? And I'll tell you a quick story. I'll never forget it. It was 1981. The second year of the televised draft, and Paul Zimmerman of Sports Illustrated was on the show for the first time.
Mr. Z.
Dr. Z. And here's a guy, he worked the draft, he talked to GMs before, and these GMs were fine talking to him because it wasn't on TV and there wasn't an internet. And so the sixth pick of the first round comes along, and the Packers drafted University of California quarterback Rich Campbell. And Paul Zimmerman gets right on the camera afterwards, and he says, I'll never talk to the Packers again. They lied to me. To me, that was one of the classic moments in time of NFL draft history. And that was a signal, you know, hey, even if you're Paul Zimmerman or whoever you are, guys aren't going to necessarily tell you the truth. But the funny thing is, when I thought of this story the other day, when someone had asked me about Paul Zimmerman, I went back and double-checked on Rich Campbell's career. He was with the Packers for four seasons. That was it for the NFL.
My fellow Americans, this July, we're celebrating America's birthday at Moda Casino by giving away $1,776,000 in prize. And one lucky winner is going to take home $1 million SC. Happy 250th birthday, America. You're welcome. Download Moto Casino today.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Played 13 games, started 7. I think he threw 50 passes in his career. And I always, when I saw that, I said, well, maybe what the Packers told Paul originally could have been the truth. And they shouldn't have taken it.
All right, we'll take a quick break. More with Howard Balzer on the other side. Bring it.
Remember the good old days before you found us, got the winning edge, and started winning?
Neither do we.
Thank God.
This is the Sports Grid Radio Network.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're a true player. You look for every advantage you can get. Congratulations.
You just found it.
The winning edge. Sports gaming strategies and information you won't find anywhere else. 24 hours a day.
7 days a week.
This is the Sports Grid Radio Network.
You're listening to Sports Grid Late Night with Gabe Morenci on Sports Grid Radio. Sirius XM Channel 204.
Management class continues. This is Sports Rage. I am Gabe Morenci. Of course, the countdown to the National Football League draft is on right now. And I got to tell you, I'm getting fired up, man. I'm up all night just, you know, pondering, clicking, betting, and everything else in between. So, Howard, we're in conversation with the great Howard Balzer right now. So, of course, you know, you had that 1983 quarterback class in which six guys were taken. I'm not saying that these guys are going to be, we're going to get the same results, but there are some very high expectations. You were talking earlier about pressure on general managers to get it right, and there's going to be pressure on these players, pressure on Trevor Lawrence, who hasn't really had any pressure coming into this process right now. You know what I mean? They've already given him the playbook. It is what it is. But there's going to be massive pressure on a Zach Wilson if he ends up in New York, like everybody thinks. And man, there's massive pressure on San Francisco right now. I mean, Lynch and Shanahan are sort of treated like Bill Walsh and company. But the fact is, you know, they're not. And there's only so many times they can be the smartest guy in the room and then, you know, not win. Sort of reminds me of Danny Ainge in the NBA a little bit, Howard, in which Danny Ainge just sort of kills it all the time. And like great trades, great signings, but he's tinkered too much. And then the chemistry isn't good, or it's just it hasn't worked out in the end. And I'm not saying that for the 49ers fully, but this is a massive decision for the 49ers they're making right now. The ownership group is putting a lot of confidence in these two guys.
No question about it. And mostly Kyle Shanahan, and John Lynch admitted that earlier this week, that he obviously has input, but when it comes to quarterbacks, he defers pretty much to what Kyle Shanahan believes, because he's the play caller. He's the guy that's got to coach him. He's the guy that is putting his job on the line to win with him. And so they obviously have to make the right decision, and I don't think nobody really knows who it is. I don't even know if they've decided at this point. You'd think they have, but I don't know that they really had when people were saying that they did.
My so uneducated guess, Howard, is Trey Lance. that's my uneducated prediction.
Well, and it very well could be, and I think it could be any one of those three guys, whether it's Lance, Justin Fields, or Mac Jones, and Kyle Shanahan's going to pick the guy that he feels is the best fit for what he wants to accomplish on offense. And the reality is, with Jimmy Garoppolo, this wouldn't be happening if Jimmy Garoppolo was able to stay on the field. One year he was able to stay on the field, the 49ers advanced to the Super Bowl. The other 2 years he hasn't been able to and has missed way too many games. And so you have to have the confidence. You never know when a guy's going to get hurt, but when the history is he's not out there. I mean, Jimmy Garoppolo obviously today would be a much better quarterback if he had played all those games, because every game you play in the NFL makes you better. And so now he'll be starting over with someone that he believes will come in, learn the system, be the leader of the team, but most importantly, as they say, Gabe, always in the NFL, the most important ability is availability. And
yes,
that's
sir.
What he hopes to have with this quarterback. But yes, the pressure is immense on him, and the pressure will be immense on that quarterback. And it's not only because he's being taken third overall, it's also because of the package of draft picks that the 49ers traded for him. And so that's going to make this a very, very interesting pick, and then obviously an interesting process as we see how that player plays once he arrives with the 49ers.
Very interesting division this year, isn't it? With Matt Stafford on the Rams now, Arizona with J.J. Watt, and, you know, with the development of Kyler Murray. So let's talk about the Arizona Cardinals, in which basically it's good news, bad news, you know, where they're sort of in the middle right now, where it's even worse. You don't make the playoffs, and, you know, you don't get a great draft pick, but obviously it's an exciting time for the Cardinal organization right now. And can they get a player at 16 that can play right away? That's the question, right? Can they get a player that can play right away? And you know, I'm looking, Howard, is it defensive back? I know you were talking about maybe an edge rusher as the draft goes on, but is defensive back priority number one in the first round?
Well, it's priority number one. The question is, when you get to that spot in the first round, if the two top corners that everyone believes are the best two, Patrick Surtain the second and J.C. Horn, if it all depends on how the Cardinals then have the other cornerbacks evaluate. Is Greg Newsom the second, or Caleb Farley, do they feel that they are worthy of that first pick? Or, because of maybe four, five quarterbacks taken in the first 15, maybe three receivers taken in the first 15, Kyle Pitts taken in the first 15, is there somebody else at another position that perhaps the Cardinals, let's say, had rated their eighth best player on their board, and he's sitting there at 16, but it's not a cornerback. Then you've got to think long and hard about taking that guy, and that's where it could be, perhaps, an edge rusher. Maybe an offensive lineman. I don't think that'll happen, but you just never know because that's the way the draft develops. It also could depend on how do the Cardinals rate the next group of cornerbacks after those top four guys. Do they have fairly good confidence that one of those will be available when it comes to them in the second round? So all those things enter into the decision-making process. But to me, they have to get a corner in one of the first two rounds. They did sign Malcolm Butler this year, one-year deal. He's in his 30s. They brought back Robert Alford, who hasn't played the last two seasons because of injury, one-year deal, in his 30s. They have a young corner in Byron Murphy Jr. who they want to keep in the slot at nickel. And so they need a young cornerback that will be there on a, you know, team-friendly contract and that they hope will be there for the long term. And so that has to be a priority. The only question is, like I said, is it in the first or the second round? And it's possible they get to 16 that they like one of those other two corners. They feel that one or two of them will be there in the next three or four choices, and that if someone's interested in coming up, then they could trade down because they don't have a third or a fourth round pick. And so if they can pick up one of those for trading down a few spots, they would certainly entertain that notion. So those are the things that could very well happen. But the one thing about that edge rusher is Azeez Ojulari, who is widely considered the best outside line pass rushing outside linebacker in this draft. He's the number one guy on the board, and I would think he is on the Cardinals' board. If he's there at 16 and you're getting the best guy on your board at that position, a young guy coming in a group that you have three pass rushers at outside linebacker that also are in their 30s, then is that something you would consider doing? It all depends on who's there. If J.C. Horn's there, I don't think so. Anyway, Surtain will. If J.C. Horn's there, they should take about 5 seconds to make that pick. But if he's not, then I think it could be very interesting to see what they do.
I tell you, Howard, you can never have too much money, too much beauty, or too much speed in edge rushers, right, in the NFL.
Exactly.
And you know, and listen, I'm a Buffalo Bill fan, and I'm thinking the same thing. I'm like, man, if you're going to beat Mahomes, you got to get to Mahomes, right? That's just, you know, it's the nature of the beast, and you better have some speed to get there. So, you know, it's amazing, like, when you fill out these, you know, people try to do their mock drafts, and, you know, as you talked about, there's always going to be something's going to get shaken up. So we saw some big moves. We saw San Francisco with the move. We saw Baltimore trade Orlando Brown. We saw Kansas City. We've seen some deals, but it's kind of been the calm before the storm right now. You know, how many, like, are you expecting a top 10 deal? Like, there's always a deal, isn't there? Like, isn't somebody going to move? And I think it could be the Detroit Lions at 7, personally, but are you expecting a move or two on Thursday?
I certainly think it'll happen, but there's been years where I thought it would happen, and all of a sudden they sail through the first 10, and there are no trades. And granted, having these quarterbacks in the draft, you certainly, you know, depending on what happens at 4, then if all of a sudden the two quarterbacks who are left after 3 are sitting there, and does that encourage a team, let's say like New England, for example, to trade into the top 10 to get
exactly.
a young quarterback? I don't know that the Patriots would do that, but you can't rule out the possibility. And what is the trade package? Obviously, as some have said, you can't dance alone in the NFL. It takes two to tango to make a trade. So you have to have someone willing to trade up to be able to trade down. And what also happens in the draft game, especially, let's say, teams that aren't looking for a quarterback, teams have their eyes set on, let's say, a certain player. Or maybe it's two of the wide receivers, whatever it might be. And so a lot of times teams will fall in love with those guys, and it comes around and it's getting close to their pick, and they say, no, we don't want to trade because we want to get this guy. Now, if they know they can trade down 2, 3, 4 spots, and they have 4 guys that they're looking at that they're in love with, well, then you pull the trigger because you know you're going to get one of them. But if it's one guy that you have, quote, your heart set on, then a lot of times you're not going to trade. You're going to make that choice and hope that he is what you think, you know, what you've evaluated him as. So those are all the different dynamics that occur, especially early in the draft, with, you know, with potential trades and what teams are going to end up doing.
That's exactly what I'm thinking, Howard. And I'm thinking, I'm thinking that the Detroit Lions phone is going to be the ones that's going to be ringing. Because if you look, Cincinnati's not going quarterback. We don't know about Atlanta, but let's say assume they go Pitts. Cincinnati's not going quarterback. Miami's not going quarterback. So we have three quarterbacks, let's say, taken in the first three picks. There's still a couple of very good quarterbacks available. And to me, that's when somebody says, you know what, let's call Detroit and ask him, are you taking his quarterback? Because we'll trade up. You know, Minnesota's intriguing to me, Howard. I know everyone's talking offensive line here, but I think if a quarterback falls to Minnesota, they got to think about a quarterback moving forward. Kirk Cousins, it hasn't exactly worked out. Are they going to extend him again? And is he going to be there forever? Like, that wouldn't shock me. Like, you know, I'm throwing it out there. I'm trying to be a little bit bold, but if Mac Jones falls, it wouldn't shock me if, like, someone like Minnesota took him.
No, it wouldn't shock me at all. And I think the philosophy that is at play there is that Kirk Cousins has been a good quarterback for them. But there isn't evidence that you're going to win a championship with him. It doesn't mean you couldn't win one with him, but it hasn't happened. And then as the salary keeps going up and the money keeps going up for the quarterback, at some point you say, when do we cry uncle and say, we're not paying any more for this quarterback? It's kind of the decision the Jets made. Yeah. With Sam Darnold. I mean, they were facing, I mean, he might end up being a better quarterback still than Zach Wilson. But the Jets had to make, would have had to make a decision by next week, May 3rd, whether to extend the fifth-year option on his contract at about $19 million. And then if he plays well, guess what? Then now you're kind of hooked to keeping him, and then you're going to be paying him after that, you know, whatever, $25, $28 million a year. Whereas you say, well, we hope he'll do that. We're not sure if he will. So now we'll start the clock over on a new quarterback, which gives us cap flexibility for 4 years because he's coming in on that much lower rookie contract. And so that's what a team like Minnesota could decide to do. And in effect, that's what the 49ers are doing with Garoppolo. I mean, he's at $25 million for a couple of seasons. And how can you keep paying that for a guy you're not sure can be healthy? If he ends up going somewhere, a team's not going to want to pay him that either. He's probably going to have to accept less money, perhaps with incentives and bonuses for staying healthy. But that's what's happening now with teams are okay paying their quarterback big money if they are convinced that he is their guy and they can't, and it'll be hard to improve on him at that position. But a guy like Kirk Cousins, yeah, the Vikings look at and say, we can improve on Kirk Cousins, and we hope to make the right choice, and we'll be paying a lot less for it as we find out.
Howard, it's always a pleasure talking football with you, sir. I know you're a busy man. Thanks a lot for taking the time to be with us. I look forward to reading your work throughout the week.
My pleasure, Gabe. Always enjoy it. Take care.
Lost in a sea of stats, averages, and injury reports?
It's okay.
You found it. Sports gaming strategies and info. This is the Sports Grid Radio Network.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7.
Here's golf legend John Daly.
Hell yeah, these wins are piling up faster than my divorces.
I only spent on Moto, America's social casino. You know I've won a couple of majors. And on Moto, I've won majors, grands, and epic jackpots on their classic Vegas slots with huge, huge bonus rounds. Moto Casino adds new games and awards players free coins every single day. Grip it and spin it on Moto Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
And as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering, real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Everybody's got an opinion. Go ahead.
Ask them.
But only a few have an opinion informed by expert analysis and experience. It's called trust.
It's why we're here.
For you. Keep it here and get the edge. You're listening to the Sports Grid Radio Network.
Class. And while it does feel like the sky is falling on the Los Angeles Dodgers and Dodgers bettors right now, They actually still have the best record in baseball, which is pretty crazy. That's when you know things aren't all that bad, when everyone's ripping you and you're terrible and stuff, and it's like, well, you know, you still actually, the winning percentage is a little bit lighter right now than, you won't believe it, but the Kansas City Royals. Everybody predicted this, right? That the Boston Red Sox, Kansas City Royals, Oakland Athletics, New York Mets, Milwaukee Brewers, and San Francisco Giants would be in first place right now. It's almost like every team that was picked last almost or something. But San Francisco and LA are still tied. LA lose again. And I don't like chasing. I don't really do it when it comes to baseball. And listen, it's not too bad. I'm not putting more money on the Dodgers in the last couple of days than I have put on any other games. So it's not like I've gone in saying, oh, there's no way that the Dodgers lose this game. Now, tomorrow might be a little bit different. Like, it's like, oh, no, there's no way they're losing this game, right? But it is. And listen, it's Sonny Gray against Clayton Kershaw. And I keep getting burnt with the run line here. And this is an early game, guys. And so it's an early start in Los Angeles, 4:10 Eastern time. Dodgers right now, minus 210. So the numbers actually come down significantly. Minus 210. You're getting plus money at plus 110 if you want to play the run line. I think I might, this might be parlay material. And I haven't played any parlays with the Dodgers this week. Too many of them, actually. I played one with San Francisco. But I don't know. It's tough to fully trust the Dodgers yet. They're not going to lose every game. And they've only lost three in a row. Right? So it's the first time they've lost three games in a row since August of 2019. Now, Matthias, quickly here, we've got a couple of seconds, but what the hell is up with this Paris Saint-Germain line against Man City? I know Man City are good, bro, but like, are a bunch of people out? Is this like the NBA? Why are Paris Saint-Germain like plus 220 at home? That's crazy talk.
I don't know, Gabe, but you know what? Kylian Mbappe is playing tomorrow.
Interesting. Follow me on Twitter at SportsRange. I'll be digging deeper. Other than that, you're on your own. Later.
Winning Edge benefit number 27. Not having to explain to your wife why you lost.
Sweet.
You're listening to the trusted source for gaming, odds, and more.
My fellow Americans, this July, we're celebrating America's birthday at Moto Casino by giving away $1,776,000 in prize. And one lucky winner is going to take home $1 million SC. Happy 250th birthday, America. You're welcome. Download Moto Casino today.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino.